right. Well, this is a mortal sin, adultery. All relations outside of the sacrament of a marriage is a mortal sin. A mortal sin, first, is something that's serious. It has to be serious. So is it serious? Yeah. Then you have to know it's serious. And does she know it's serious? I don't know. I don't know. It doesn't say. But you have to know, yeah, this is a serious sin. And then number three, you have to do it anyway on purpose, not out of weakness, not out of weakness or impulse. But you have to say, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway. Then that's what qualifies as a mortal sin. And those mortal sins, that can separate us from God. Yeah. Stealing a quarter from your mom's purse or a cookie from the cookie jar is not a mortal sin, a venial sin. Stealing $300,000 or $500,000 from your brothers and sisters of the family inheritance, I would call that a mortal sin, because you're killing your relationship with your family. And if you know you're doing that and you don't care, well, you've just killed love, right? You've just killed love in your family. And I would call that mortal. So you kind of have to say, well, stealing can be venial and it can be mortal. A lot of the lying that we do, the white lies, those are venial sins. But if you lie in a courtroom or you lie about another person and you destroy their reputation and you destroy their livelihood on purpose, I would call that mortal. So lying can be venial or mortal. In the end, I don't worry about it. God hates sin. He wants me to hate sin. Pretty simple. All sin destroys love. It's going to damage my relationship with the Lord. It's going to be damaging my relationship with you and with myself. It's not going to help anything or anyone. So I don't play any games with it. I just say, I want it all out of my life. All impatience, all complaining, all negativity, all gossip. I don't ever want to be on a phone call with you and have us hang up and then me forget to hit the X button and then say something bad about you to my friend over here. Have you ever had that happen? They didn't hang up and then they said something about you that wasn't kind, or maybe you've done that to them. That's a sin. I don't want to do that. Lord, whatever I say to somebody in public, that's how I will talk about them in private. And I won't talk about them in private unless I can also talk to them to their face about that. I don't play any games with it. God, you don't want it? I don't want it. Because sin, it's so heavy. It's not only ugly to God, but it's just so heavy a burden. And it just destroys everything. Holiness, health, is so light. It's so light. And it's so refreshing. Look at all the sin that's going on around this woman. So first, she has secrets. She has dark secrets. I don't know if this just was a one-time thing, this adultery, or if it had been going on, but it's a secret. You don't do that in public. You know, she was caught doing that. So she already has dark secrets, skeletons in her closet. She already has things to hide. That's heavy. And now she feels shame. Shame because she's caught in the act. And now it's public. Now she's feeling humiliation and shame. It's all coming down on her. And she's in front of everyone. Now tremendous fear comes in, literally, for her life. She's supposed to be stoned, and they're ready to stone her. She knows that she's going to die. Tremendous fear. And then she feels, you can feel it when someone is trying to lord it over you, that they're better than you. She can feel the scribes and the Pharisees lording it over her like this. Now she feels that. And then she feels, you know, when you want to win something, you try to get other people supporting you around you. So the scribes and Pharisees, they're trying to get the people around. Yeah, let's all point our finger at her. So she feels the whole crowd is against me. They're stirring them up. And then they're doing this, the scribes and Pharisees are doing this because they're trying to trick Jesus up. They know that he's merciful, but he can't disobey the Mosaic law. he has to say, yes, you have to stone her. But he's going to want to have mercy. But if he says, don't stone her, now we have a reason to accuse him because he's disobeying Moses' law. So again, manipulation, deceit, it's all sin. And yet it's so common. That's the evil of sin. Get it out. Get it all out. It's so heavy. It's so burdensome. We just want it away. All the guilt, all the shame. How does Jesus respond? First, he is self-composed. In the middle of all of this sin, he himself is self-composed. We as Christians, we have to learn there has to be a soul poise about us where we're not affected by all the wind and the waves and everything going on around us. There has to be a poise about us. Let's look at this. There's a calmness inside of us that comes from God, the peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus is self-composed. He's not panicking. He's not overreacting. And then he writes in the sand. The only time we see that he ever wrote anything, we don't know what he wrote. Some scholars say he was writing the sins of the Pharisees. I don't know what he wrote, but he writes. In other words, he doesn't play their game. That's called codependent. When they're going nuts, so you start going nuts. And now we depend on each other both going nuts. And we kind of balance it out. He doesn't play their game. We don't play games. We stay self-composed. And then he diffuses their anger and points their finger back at them. Back at them. Brilliant, brilliant. I get frustrated because I say, Lord, I am this smart after everything's over. But in the moment, I'm not that smart. And then afterwards, I said, I sure wish I had said that or done that. Because he reacted perfectly. He just calmly points it back at them. He says, well, let the one among you who has no sin throw the first stone. Because you could be stoned too, right? And then have you heard that joke that there was a little stone that came over everybody's head and it bonked the woman on the head? And Jesus said, not you, Mom. But anyway, everybody else. And they knew, okay, yeah, we are all guilty. Who am I to point my finger at her when I've done things too? And then, now it's just Jesus and the woman. And he says, has anyone condemned you? No. Neither do I. That's amazing, because Jesus was offended by her sin. He's God. All sin affects God. It's an offense against God. You see why we shouldn't want to any sin? Because every single sin, it's an offense against my Heavenly Father, whom I'm supposed to love. If you actually love someone and you hurt them, you feel it. I'm sorry, I didn't want to hurt you in that way, especially if you love them. Especially if it's Mom, right? It's when you hurt Mom and you make your mother cry. And then it hits you that, oh, no, I really hurt her. And that's how Jesus is God. He felt her adultery. He feels all sin because he's divine. And yet look how he reacts. He doesn't take it personally. Amazing. Try not to take things personally. Take everything to the Lord. Don't take it personally. It will make you like this. Take everything in and go up to the Lord with it. Lord, let's talk about this. Take it to the Lord. Jesus doesn't take it personally. He gives her a second chance. Neither do I. And then he calls her on her sin. You know how a lot of people will say, don't judge me. Hey, you're judging me. We don't judge people. We judge actions. Jesus is not judging her. He's judging her action. Adultery is wrong. All sexual activity outside of the sacrament of marriage is wrong. I'm not judging anyone. I'm speaking God's truth. And that's what we do. That's what we do. So don't be afraid to speak God's truth calmly, but to speak his truth. This is what the Lord says. This is right and this is wrong. I'm not judging you. I'm judging the action. And I try to do that with myself too. Lord, help me not to beat myself up, but to judge the action, to judge my thoughts, my actions. Boy, everybody in this scene had a lot to think about, didn't they? Jesus leaves us with a lot to think about. Those scribes and Pharisees, they had a lot to think about their motives and who they were before God. Jesus actually said to them, the love of God is not in you. And this is one of the main reasons. Look at the games you're playing. That's one of the main reasons. The love of my Heavenly Father is not in you. They had a lot to think about. This woman had a lot to think about. Oh my gosh, he saved my life. He saved my life. I don't think she ever went and sinned again like that, especially because she loved him so much. Doesn't say what she did. She had a lot to think about. Lastly, Jesus didn't have a lot to think about. Everybody else left had a lot to think about. Jesus left. He didn't have a lot to think about. He was able to leave that moment in the past and walk away and stay in the next present moment with his Heavenly Father because he was completely free, self-composed. What is the next thing I'm going to do for my Heavenly Father in my Heavenly Father? And I can't allow what just happened or what happened yesterday or back when I was 20, you know. I can't allow that to come into me now. Did you know that zebras don't get ulcers? Have you ever wondered why? There's a book called Why Zebras Don't Get Ulcers. And the book is really neat about humans, why we get ulcers. And they said, you know, if a lion chases a zebra, the zebra's going to react just like you and I would if a lion started chasing us. You know, fight or flight, better flight. And then all the adrenaline goes up and all the blood and everything goes flowing as you're running and escaping. But then if you're able to get away from the lion, if you're a zebra, after the lion is gone, every part of your being goes back to normal. Oh, there's some grass. I think I'll eat it. Oh, there's the other zebras. There they are. Let's join you guys. Humans aren't like that. If you and I were zebras, 2 hours after we got out, we escaped from the lion, 2 hours later, we would turn to our best buddy and say, hey, Zeb, I hate that lion. Why is he always after me? Why doesn't he chase you? You're slower than me. I'll tell you what, next time that guy comes up, I'm going to bonk that lion one. He deserves it. That's what you and I do, right? And that's why we get ulcers. Zebras don't get ulcers. And Jesus says, my children, you have to learn not to carry things with you. The animals are not fallen creatures, so they don't carry things with them on the inside. We internalize it, and then we just carry it, don't we? For an hour, 2 days, 2 years, 20 years sometimes. And Jesus says, no, that's part of your fallen human nature. My children, you need to stay in the present moment. What just happened. Let it go. Let me heal it. Let me be there. And now, let's you and I go to the next moment. And that this is how he can help us let go of worry and anxiety and remorse and shame and guilt, because don't all those things come from us carrying things? And he says, you don't have to carry it. Give it to me. Give it to me. And so I love how Jesus is able to deal with the moment, stay, have that composure, and then go to the next thing, as he perfectly did his Father's will in that moment. Beautiful. It's a beautiful story. So we will try to emulate him. You can't do it without him, okay? You can't do it without the Lord. So that's why I'm saying we have to be conscious of the Lord through our day. Now, Jesus, give me the composure. Give me the composure. Give me the calm. Give me the peace. And every time I feel, you know, that coming in, I give it to you. I give it to you. Do the Jesus prayer, or Jesus, I let go of the worry and I bring in your love. That's what I'm usually doing through the day. Lord, I give you this anxiety. I give you this fear. I give you this ruminating, and bring me your love. I kind of try to see myself as a fishbowl. You always have to filter the water, right, in a fishbowl. I always see Jesus' love as the filter. Jesus, filter your love through me throughout the day. And so thank you for hating sin as much as Jesus hates all sin. And thank you for living in him. He says, move the sin out. It's so heavy. It's so heavy. It makes us so unhappy. And he says, move that all out and let the lightness of my light and my love flow in.